McDonald's meets the Minecraft universe with one of six collectibles and your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets with spicy nether flame sauce. Now available with a Minecraft movie meal.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time, a Minecraft movie only in theaters.
Spring Fest and Ego Days are here at Lowe's. Right now, get a free select Ego 56-volt battery with purchase of a select trimmer, blower, or mower kit. Plus, shop today for new and exclusive items you need for your lawn. So get ready for spring with the latest in innovation from Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Only at Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer valid through 4-2. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
We have to talk about Shohei Ohtani.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, embrace this.
With guest host, Andrew Siciliano.
Embrace this, man.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
On his bobblehead night.
Ohtani!
Earlier on the show, six-year NFL veteran Jason Kabinda, World Series champion pitcher Ryan Dempster, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock. Coming up, NBA champion forward David Lee. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
And for the first time in 2 days here, we do not open up a segment with laughter and a lingering off-camera, off-mic story from during the break that is totally bad form for the audience because they don't know what it is you're laughing about. We just sat here in silence staring at each other waiting for you to return, and we're happy that you are here with us on another day of the Rich Eisen Show, exactly 21 days before the 2025 selection meeting, the NFL's annual selection meeting, the NFL draft in Green Bay.
Are you going? You're going to be in Green Bay?
I don't believe I'm going to be in Green Bay. There's an outside chance I may be in Green Bay. Right now, the plan is to be in Berea, Ohio.
Okay, great.
With the Browns, maybe even at the stadium. There's going to be a big draft party at Huntington Bank Field.
Should be.
Journey is going to play.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
I might be up on... Actually, I'm not going to be up on stage. But maybe I'm up on stage introducing Journey. That's not the plan.
And then introducing Shador, Travis Hunter.
Don't know who that pick is.
No, honestly, one of those guys. Is.
Yeah. 2017, Jared Goff drafted 2016. Yeah. I did host the Rams draft party with my dear friend Kara Henderson. And we were downtown at LA Live with a massive throng of Rams fans down there, the plaza at LA Live, and we did, after the Rams took Jared Goff, get him up on the big screen at LA Live outside what was then Staples, now Crypto, and we did the interview. That was weird, interviewing a guy on a building-sized screen in front of a crowd of people where he's on satellite. That was a technical challenge, but it worked. Anyway, no, I will not be in Green Bay.
1 year, I watched the draft with you, and I wrote a running diary for my old website.
Do you remember what year that was?
I think that was the Johnny Manziel year.
It was the John Manziel year.
Was that 14?
I don't remember what it was. It was the year that Derek Carr got drafted in 14. The second round. They could have taken him. Travis Frederick drafted that year as well.
Yeah, 14.
Yeah. So they took Johnny Manziel, and I actually got excited.
You were very excited.
I was very excited
because he got one of your jerseys.
It was life, like pumping a little life into the building. Hey, what's the worst that can happen? He's going to run around, make some plays. At least they're watchable, right? And maybe you hit. I did go upstairs and I got my Tim Couch jersey, and I put Manziel, because they both were number two. I put Manziel on masking tape or whatever over Couch on the back of the jersey. And I put that on the social medias. I regret that.
Felt good at the time.
Felt good at the time. Which is what sports fandom is about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. What did you miss last night? Shohei Ohtani, the most predictable walk-off home run on Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night that you have ever seen. Because, yes, he is that good. No, it's not a script. He just knows what the script should be, and he makes it happen, seemingly, nightly. The Dodgers are 8-0. The Padres, who beat the Guardians at a matinee, are 7-0. Conversely, the Atlanta Braves are 0-7. They are not tanking for the number one pick. I promise you, they're 0-7, eventually they will win a game. In the NBA, Brockman, what happened last night? I forgot.
Yeah, a bunch of teams played, and my team lost, so I stopped paying attention.
Okay, cool. Got it. Oh, Anthony Davis had the game winner.
Anthony Davis played great.
A little runner left of the lane at the buzzer. Anthony Davis's first game winner. Said he, well, with the Mavs, said he had to get over a mental hurdle. He got over it, and bam. And did you know, Brockman, that the record that the Mavs have with Anthony Davis is, complete the sentence?
The Mavericks have a better winning percentage with Anthony Davis than Luka has with the Lakers.
Interesting.
Just, you know,
many people are saying
it's just a fact.
Just a fact.
Just a fact. People hate facts these days.
Just a fact. So there's that. End of the NFL. Joe Milton has a new home. The Cowboys have a new backup quarterback. His name, again, Joe Milton, traded from the New England Patriots for a fifth round pick. Patriots also send a 7 back for a guy they took in the 6th round a year ago. So in the last 11 months, Joe Milton was drafted in the 6th round, helped the Patriots win a game week 18 in his only game action, and the Patriots fell from the 1st overall pick to the 4th overall pick, got Patriots fans excited that they could get a big return. Instead, they got a 5, which is better than where they took him. And Dallas now is the new backup quarterback for the screaming head shows to tell you next year should jump in front of Dak Prescott on the depth chart. I am not saying that should happen. However, I am telling you it will invade your media space next year. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Or at a minimum, it's going to be, hey, why don't you bring in Joe Milton for a little fun package there?
Ooh, the Milton package,
the
TJ.
The Milton package.
Look, we could just put the kibosh on that right now.
A red zone Milton package?
And vow to not do that stupidity come next season. Like, I'm looking at everybody. Just let's not do it. But it's going to happen.
What if the Cowboys are like 1-4? Then what?
But they're not going to be.
What do you mean? Why not? Why can't they be
1-4? They're always going to be in the middle somewhere. So again, I've said this a million times. They're going to be too good to get the first pick, but they're never going to be good enough to really be a Super Bowl contender.
Which is a bad place to be.
Stuck
bad,
in bad
it's where the Steelers are.
You got to bottom out, man.
Where the Steelers are.
Got to bottom out. New England has bottomed out the last few years, and there's only one way to go. It's up.
And they got Drake May.
Which
is good. They got a great coach. Let me be Mike Vrabel back in the building there. I think it's awesome. Browns are, well, they bottomed out last year, but they only bottomed out to 2, right? I was watching both of those games week 18, because remember the Browns played the Ravens the night before in Baltimore. So they were done. And then you're rooting for the Titans to somehow pull it out.
Yep.
And the Patriots to somehow pull it out. You got 1 out of 2. Titans game was at least interesting in the second half. Alas, it did not happen. My father looks at me and goes, what does it matter, first or second? I go, Dad, it matters
a lot.
It matters.
So much.
I mean, you know the odds of these picks hitting. I mean, does it really matter? I'm like, yes, it matters. Now Cam Ward likely goes to Tennessee. And I thought what Mike Mayock had to say last hour about when you have the number one pick, you talk it over with everybody, including ownership. Obviously, you always do. And the owner is always kind of sort of in the room for every NFL team. This idea that owners have no influence, most will step out of the way and go, football people, you do your thing.
That must be nice.
It's funny. He's the GM in your building. Yeah. He's the GM.
He wishes he was the head coach.
However,
he wishes he was the quarterback.
Don't forget about Will McClay, the man behind the man. Will McClay, one of the best in the business. You know about your coach?
Mm-hmm.
Had a nice long talk with Shoddy a couple of nights ago. Love that guy. I'm happy for him. I think Cowboy fans, give him some grace here. I think you're gonna like him. Matter of fact, I know you're gonna like him. Just, you know, turn off the screaming and just focus on the football. And enjoy it. I promise you, his players will like him. They already do like him.
Being liked is great. Is he a good coach, though? Because that's all. Because we had a guy who was great. He was loved. And we were 8-8 every year. Like, rather have a little bit of an a-hole and get us over the hump. But, hey, if he's a nice guy.
Just wait and see. I think you will be pleasantly surprised. But the point Mayock made was, hey, in Tennessee, this is a big conversation with everyone, including the owner, Amy Adams Strunk, I beg your pardon, with Chad Brinker now in charge. He had been in the building. Now he's kind of sort of in charge. And Mike Morganzi as well, coming over from Kansas City. And that, hey, a fresh, new, good quarterback to pump some life into the building when you're going to move into a new stadium soon is a good thing. Consider all of the factors at play. Could the Browns trade up? Let me go a little bit deeper into what I just said with Mike Mayock. There has never been a trade from 2-1. I know it sounds odd. In the history of the common draft, as we call it, in other words, the post-merger draft, there has never been a team that traded from 2-1. Ever. So there is no precedent. There is no, oh, this is what it cost last time. It has never, ever, ever happened. And there's only ever been 1-3-1 trade. And that was 1975. It was 50 years ago. The Atlanta Falcons went from 3-1, traded with the Baltimore Colts, and they drafted Steve Barkowski, the quarterback, at 1. To get from 3-1, they traded all-pro right tackle George Kuntz, who is one of the best O-linemen, best right tackles of his era. He was a two-time All-Pro when they traded him, would win other All-Pros and go to other Pro Bowls after the trade to Baltimore. That's the only thing you have to go on. Now, you have multiple 3-2 trades, most notably when the Bears and Niners did the deal in 2017. The Bears went from 3-2, Niners kind of bluffed them, and the Bears moved up and they took Mitch Trubisky. But there's never been a 2-1 trade. So for everyone saying, well, hey, just flip them a third-round pick. Browns got two of them. They got one for Amari Cooper. That seemingly, I'll tell you, it was a steal. Give them that pick. Ain't going to happen. It's going to cost more than that. It's going to cost you maybe 2 twos. Maybe next year's one to go up one spot to get the guy. Now, if Cam Ward really is the guy, next year's one is worth it. But wait a minute, Andrew, you just went 3 years without a one. How do you already give up another one to go from 2-1? Because nobody ever remembers what it costs if you get it right. Yep.
Nobody cares.
But it's if you get it right. So you better be convinced that you are right. But it takes two to trade. And Tennessee's got to have to want to get out. And if they don't want to get out, then it doesn't matter what the price is. Now, could you call up with 3-1? Sure. Oh, yeah, they'll take that. Okay, we'll wait till next year. Nussmeier or Arch or I don't care, anybody. Drew Aller. We'll take one of those guys next year. We're good. But you're going to have to overpay. It just happens. It's just the way it is. It isn't this easy jump. It just isn't. There's no precedent. Titans can hand them a ransom note. And if they don't want it, they don't have to do it. All right, let's go to the phones, everybody. 844-204-RICH is the phone number. 844-204-RICH. YL's in Pittsburgh. What's going on?
Yellow. What's going on, gentlemen?
Yellow.
Wow. How you doing, brother?
Was that black and yellow?
Bro, you were spot on, my man, with the Steelers. You know, this should have gone after the young kid. Listen, that just reinforces what I said about the coach. And who's playing footsies with Aaron Rodgers other than Tomlin? I mean, he didn't see what he did last year. And I know how you feel about it, but I'd like to hear more about it. But why spend all this time, maybe spend all this money on somebody who's was good, has proven he's not as good as he was in the past, you know, injury prone. Well, you could have picked up, you know, a young quarterback and trained, you know, I mean, worked with him. Look, I'm gonna leave you guys with this. How do you think of all the number one picks that the Steelers let go and think of where they went and see how they won Super Bowls, whether they started or not? And I'll remind you about Pasco, where he went to the Giants. First one to win the Super Bowl after Tomlin let him go. And then there's more to come. And they should let TJ Watts go, because let him go win the Super Bowl with somebody else, because he won't win it with Tomlin. And that's all I got to say, bud.
All right. Thanks, Wyle.
Thank you.
Listen, if Mike Tomlin were to become a free agent tomorrow, he'd be the number one coach in the portal, I'll tell you that. and he would get a, I mean, I'm not suggesting A would happen now, but Mike Tomlin is the kind of coach where, let's go back a couple of months, if the Steelers had decided to move on, he is the kind of coach where other owners would fire their head coach to get Mike Tomlin. Okay? And I know Steeler fans, a large percentage of them, are frustrated with what they see as mediocrity. All right? Always good enough to get in, never good enough to win anything. And to answer the question, since Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt both went in the first round in the 2017 draft, Myles number one, T.J. in the 20s, the Browns have more playoff wins than the Steelers. I'll say it again. The Browns have more playoff wins with Myles Garrett than the Steelers have with T.J. Watt. And some of you might just went, shut up. That's not true. It is true. It is true. Matter of fact, the Browns beat the Steelers in the playoffs with Myles Garrett and the Steelers with T.J. Watt. So that is true. But you got to find the quarterback. And you ask why you're playing footsie with Aaron Rodgers. Because there are no other options. You think you're going to get a starting quarterback at 21 day one? You could. Like Shador might be there and you might throw him in there. All right, day one. Here we go. I don't think that's a likely scenario. First of all, you got to like Shador enough to want to take him and throw him in there.
And you're assuming he drops.
Jalen Milroe, I think, is an intriguing prospect. But you heard Mayock talk about his limitations. I've seen those limitations with my own two eyes. The idea that you draft, I've heard Jalen Milroe connected, obviously, to the Steelers. They met with him before Alabama Pro Day, had dinner. Yeah, they could take him. But you think he's starting day one? No, he's, I'm sorry, he's not ready. By the way, I love Jalen. He is world-class good guy. Academic Heisman, won the Campbell Award, right? He's the guy you want on the podium representing your franchise. Absolutely. I mean, he is off the chart on the personal, the HR side of the building, so to speak. Off the chart. But he's not going to be ready day one. Be unfair to him to throw him in there day one. So the Steelers are that team that's kind of stuck in limbo. What do you do? How do you do it? And that's why you're down this road with Aaron Rodgers, because even with everything that he brings to the table, it's the best option right now. Full stop. Full stop. Michael, back to the phones, is in Tennessee. Happy Thursday to you, Michael.
Hi, can you guys hear me all right?
I can hear you fine.
Excellent. I want to say you're doing an excellent job as the guest host.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So I just want to call about the topic you guys covered the other day on the QB tush-push being like a rugby scrum.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people are saying that, but they're not actually familiar with the rugby mechanics. You know, I played rugby in college. It's when you get in a scrum, it's eight players on each team, and they have to interlock with each other, and you can't actually go below the hips. Your head and shoulders have to stay above your level of your hips. And each team has the same amount of people, and it's an equal push. So the tush push and the rugby scrum, really, they're not similar.
I appreciate the insight, Michael. I am not a rugby guy, and we are just lazily comparing it to rugby, because a lot of people don't like the aesthetics of it. Appreciate the call. But hey, as Jeffrey Lurie said, aesthetics are on the eye of the beholder, right? When it comes to art. And many people think the pushing of the tush in Philadelphia is art. It's effective.
Only Nick Sirianni thinks that it's art.
I should say this about Nick Sirianni. Back from the annual meeting. There are a couple of events where you get gussied up a little bit, right? These are family affairs, but you're in Florida. You put on the nice sport coat, whatever. Some people wear the suit and no tie. Nick Sirianni rolls into some of these. Golf shirt. Just total golf shirt.
Crushing it.
Love him for it. It's his charm, right? Fans love it. He loves it. He does it well. Coming up next, David Lee loves what his Florida Gators are doing. Is Florida cutting down the nets this weekend in San Antonio? That guy, NBA champion. David Lee coming up.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024.
I represented a costume manufacturer against Barney the Purple Dinosaur. They sold this thing called Hillary the Hippo, which looked exactly like Barney. And it was just being rented for people to do, parties for their kids and all that. So we wanted to settle the case right away, but they wouldn't settle it because they wanted to make a an example out of it.
Oh, no.
So we went to federal court and won.
No kidding.
Yeah, we won. And we wound up, then it went to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. I had to argue about Barney the Purple Dinosaur one step away from the United States Supreme Court. The funniest part, and because the case is over, I can say this now.
Yes.
I had the costume, the evidence of the trial, I had the costume at home for some reason.
Yes.
And my wife and her friends used it to have a birthday party for some of our kids. For some of the kids in the neighborhood. And they had all, you know, this is back before cell phone pictures and all that.
Sure.
So they had pictures of all this. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, do you realize this could end the trial right here if the other side got a hold of this? I subpoenaed Barney to the trial. Honest to God.
This gets better.
I subpoenaed Barney to the trial. The other side said, Your Honor, we can't do that. There are only three of these costumes in existence. It's on the road doing this and hardship of bringing it in. And the costume is 6'8" tall, weighs like 250 pounds or whatever. And I stood up. I said, Your Honor, I'm 6'8" and I weigh about 240. I got in here just fine. And so the judge ordered the costume and they brought it, opened up this big truck, and they wouldn't let anybody see it unless somebody was in it. Barney pops out of the back of a truck onto the loading dock. The judge came down, all the court reporter, and every employee of the federal building was there to see it.
This is a celebrity, right?
It was the dumbest thing you'd ever seen in your life.
The great Jay Billis there in the Wayback Machine on the Rich Eisen Show. Rich is on his way back. He will be back here coming up. If you're wondering, on Monday, yours truly is back here tomorrow to celebrate Colorado Pro Day. I mean, among other things. Andrew Siciliano sitting in for Rich, by the way. I am sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, which is furnished by Grainger. It's fantastic. It's my favorite desk. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. It is Pro Day season. It is also Final Four season. It is one shining moment season. The one, of course, meaning four one seeds. You're guaranteed a one, O-N-E, shining moment for one of these teams coming up this weekend, including perhaps this man's Florida Gators. He's an NBA champion. Didn't do it with the Gators, but I know he's rooting for the Gators. is a walking double-double, as somebody once said recently. David Lee, how the heck are you, man?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
How you feeling about your Gators in San Antonio this weekend?
I got my fingers crossed for sure. I chose them at the start of the tournament because I knew that I was going to cheer for them anyways. And I had them against Duke in the final, and it's looking like that's a decent possibility for that to happen.
To be fair, do you pick them every year?
No, I don't. I don't. And of course, the natural thought is one seeds never make the Final Four. All of them never make the Final Four. So I kind of felt dumb picking them in my bracket, but I was going to cheer for them. So I thought, why not? And this is the year that all four one seeds make it.
Okay. So about the one seeds, David, does that mean it's been a tournament? Or does that mean, hey, they got it right. Look, we knew who the four best teams were. They nailed it.
I think a little bit of both. I think from a fan enjoyment standpoint, everyone loves to see the upsets. They like to see the Cinderella teams make a run. But if you're on the selection committee and you're saying these are our four one seeds, I think you're patting yourself on the back and saying we made the right decision. And these four teams have had great seasons all year long, and so they definitely were deserving. And the Final Four is the outcome has proven that. So I think a little bit of both.
Talking to David Lee here, who is a DraftKings talent ambassador. I'm sure you're sick of this question because, I mean, even before NIL, I live in the football world. You always talk to the old football players. Man, you see that contract? Wouldn't have been great if you guys got paid that. But, I mean, look at your Gator team with you and Al Horford and Corey Brewer and Torian Green and Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
David, what would the payroll collectively in this era have been for that team?
Or the question is, how dumb would we have spent the money in Gainesville, Florida? circa 1999, 2000, 2001. I keep thinking this because there's got to be sort of an in-between scenario. I remember when I was playing there, we had a guy on the team who lost a family member tragically during the season. And Billy Donovan looked at us and said, hey guys, we have to have the players kind of pool some money together to get this player a flight back to where they're from because the school can't legally give him money for that to go to the funeral. So that makes no sense to me considering how much these schools are making. But now with these guys making so much money, I'm applauding them for doing it. I'm happy they're making that much money. But the fact that they're making so much and able to transfer freely, it's brought some questions about college, sports overall into my head. And I know a lot of these college coaches are very frustrated by it. So I think there's probably a healthy medium or a way to like hold the money to it for a certain point until guys go pro or until they're done with college. I don't have the solution. I certainly don't. And how to do it fairly across all sports. But it's definitely different than it used to be. And I can't wrap my head around it at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know how to fix it either. Everyone thinks they have an answer, but like we had Richard Pitino on yesterday and listen, he was honest. He said, I broke my contract in New Mexico to come here. So I get it. Players want to leave and they're going to go get their bag somewhere else. He has two guys, right? He has two guys right now. The team meeting on the new head coach was really short. They could have done it on a text chain. I got two guys. That's
it. It was barely a group text. There was only three guys.
Right. I mean, it's like, hey, who did? Like, wait, what's the other number on this chain? Like,
yeah, exactly. It's the only other guy we got.
Yeah, I don't know this guy. You mentioned Duke before. Cooper Flagg, we assume, is the number one overall pick. He probably had some rough spots earlier in the year, but now he is the guy. How do you think his game translates?
I mean, just hearing, because I was on a few of those teams that played against the select team that plays against the Olympic team before they head off to the Olympics. And that is not an easy thing to do, first of all, because you have so many guys with big names that are on the Olympic team. You get no calls. They're all on the same team, so they're teaming up against you. It is a very difficult thing to be a part of. And from all the accounts that I heard, he did unbelievable in that. So that's what you're really looking at. College basketball can be a bit of a different experience with guys being able to basically camp in the lane defensively. I know he's gotten a lot of attention in double teams and different scenarios against him. Everybody's looking to be the guy that stops Cooper Flagg. But, I mean, he's had an incredible season overall. Their team has won, which has made it even better. And he's had an incredible tournament when the most people have been watching. So I think if whoever gets the number one pick, if they don't choose him, They may be regretting that down the line.
Yeah, and for those who don't know what David's referring to, last summer, last July, Cooper Flagg practiced against the Olympic team, the team that went to Paris and won the gold, barely pulled it out at the end, but won the gold. And there are these moments that went viral where he stuck a three over Anthony Davis, and then on the other end, he scored on Bam Adebayo and got an N1, and people were just like, oh, wow, like, holy, you know what? The next night, or maybe two nights later, David, I was at the Gatorade High School Player of the Year party here in L.A. right before the ESPYs, and Justin Jefferson is there, and Puka is there, and DK Metcalf is there, but there are all these high school kids there. I promise you, no one recognized or knew Cooper Flagg at this party. They wanted to talk to the NFL wide receivers. He's there with his folks. You see his parents now on TV, all the cutaways, every game.
Yeah.
And I went up and talked to him for a little bit. Nice kid. And we talked about, you know, what it was like to practice against those guys and how LeBron welcomed him and how cool of an experience it was. But, you know, he took some photos with people, but he was pretty unassuming. Just this tall kid standing there at this party with a bunch of NFL players. And a year later, remember, I came home and I said, I met the number one overall pick next year. Really? Oh, no, believe me, this kid is going to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of it also, right? I hear everyone says how good of a work ethic he has, and that he's a humble guy, and that he does all the right things. And if you're drafting a guy number one, number two, I mean, that's what you want, right? Because the talent can be there, but obviously the work ethic and the stuff off the court has to follow. So that's good to hear, and from all accounts I've heard, he's a good guy.
All right, let's get to the NBA. Who's coming out of the West, David Lee?
Okay, so I'm going to give my official statement. I am a Knicks fan in the East and a Warriors fan in the West.
Okay.
If you would have asked me this question 3 months ago, I would have given you a very kind answer about how Steph Curry can climb mountains on his own and do this, but I would not have really thought in my head that the Warriors could make it out. Now with adding Jimmy Butler, I think they have as good of a chance as anybody. The big question marks, in my opinion, are what is going to happen with Oklahoma City and Cleveland, the two best teams in the league all season, when the playoffs hit and they're not as playoff tested as other teams. They both have great home court advantages. If everything happened like it should and plays out on paper, those two teams should be in the finals. I'm not sure many people believe that's going to be the case.
All right, so let's talk about the Cavaliers here. Obviously, they hit their rough stretch a couple of weeks ago, lost those four games in a row in the West Coast swing. Right now, if everything holds, they would play a game seven against the Celtics at home. And a lot of people in Cleveland are hanging their hat on that. But they have shown an inability, save for one game, to beat the Celtics. And I can tell you right now, I got a lot of Cleveland in me. I'd be anxious that it would get to a seventh game in Cleveland.
You know, I think, and once again, I'm going to bring it back to the fact that I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
I think there are three teams in the East, meaning Cleveland, Boston, and the Knicks that I look at that all have a shot. Boston, to me, has the best team overall, has the most depth. They're playoff tested. They won it last year, et cetera, et cetera. They've had injury problems all year. They're one twisted ankle away from not having their full team and I think making themselves beatable. But I think the East is still theirs to lose. But you look at a seven-game series, Brunson coming back from an injury and being rested going into the playoffs, I think the Knicks have a chance. And then you look at assuming Cleveland and Boston make it. If that were to happen, I think Cleveland with home court advantage has a chance. I still would probably say Boston has the best team on paper, but I really think when you get into the second and later rounds in the East, I think anything can happen at this point.
And the Cavaliers, for those who don't know, did beat the Knicks last night. New York led at the half. Cavs and Donovan Mitchell specifically kicked it into gear in the second half, and the Cavaliers won it. How long do you think Steph can play, David? And you obviously know him. You won with him. But, like, I mean, he looks like the guy that, you know, he could be out there at 50 hitting shots from half court if they'd let him.
Yeah, he can be Del Curry's age and still be out there with a jump shot like that. I mean, the question is how will his role change? What will the Warriors do down the line when they owe him like $84 million a year and he's not the same player? You don't want to trade him. So there's going to be some interesting decisions down the line. But he's certainly in a position that's very unique because with the best jump shot in NBA history, and the best shooter in NBA history, and he's got a lot of gamesmanship to how he plays and his ball handling, et cetera. I mean, to me, it's how long does he want to play and how long can he stay healthy?
Talking to David Lee, former Steph Curry teammate, NBA champion here, DraftKings talent ambassador. I was having this conversation with a friend recently, David, about how transformational certain players are, generational talents, we overuse that phrase a lot. Has any player, and I realize, you know, hockey's not your thing. I don't think it is, at least. So, like, we're only talking basketball. But I can't think of a player in any sport that you can truly say changed the game in our lifetime like this guy truly changed the game. We now have a generation of younger players in the NBA who look and act and shoot and play their game exactly like him. And the way, the spacing, the way no one wants to play in the paint. One man, and I realize analytics has a huge play in this as well. But can we find another player that changed a sport like him?
You could make the case maybe a Tiger Woods in golf, but I don't think he did anything different as much as he just did everything better than everyone else. No, I mean, it's very interesting because it sort of happened overnight. I mean, I remember the days when they gave Steph his $11 million a year contract, and every sports writer said, oh, he's injury prone. He's not fast enough. He's too small. He plays no defense. How could they give him money? The Warriors are so stupid. Another bad decision by the organization. And now everyone still thinks he's underpaid, making $50 or $60 million a year. So, I mean, I see it. What's really interesting is the NBA is such a copycat league, and I don't say that disrespectfully. I mean, all these teams want to win. And when you saw what the Warriors eventually became, where it was essentially small ball, you're switching every pick and roll on defense, and offensively, you're playing behind the three-point line with a lot of interchangeable, long, athletic guys. A lot of teams tried to emulate that. The difference is they didn't have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, and Draymond Green on their team. And so it didn't work out so well for a lot of teams. Now the talent level is caught up, and that's all these NBA teams look for now are guys that are 3-and-D guys. The days of handing the ball to David Lee on the block or Zach Randolph on the block or these guys, you know, Carlos Boozer on the block, those days are really over with. Part of me thinks that so many three-point shots has taken away a lot of the different skill levels of the game. Rebounding isn't as big of a deal because you have more long rebounds from long shots. You know, the mid-range game, you know, we talked about a guy like a Carmelo Anthony making the Hall of Fame. I mean, Carmelo was as fun to watch in the mid-post what he did and the skill level he had with his footwork. Kobe as well, back when he played, was so he caught the ball 17, 18 feet from the basket, and his footwork was something that no matter how you tried to guard him, he had an answer for it. Some of that's been lost, and I think you look at teams scoring 150, 160 points. I don't have the answer how to change that. I think it's a compliment to the skill level of the players that have come in the NBA now. So I'm not complaining about it as a fan, but I don't know that the average basketball fan loves to watch that as much as maybe they did a few years ago when it was more 110 and 120 points being scored. And there was only a few guys that could really shoot the ball that way. Now, I mean, the talent level of guys and how they've shot the ball is how they shoot the ball now is really incredible.
Yeah. And to your point, what, two nights ago, I think the Bucks shot 68 or whatever it was percent from the field, which is the best team shooting night in like 27 years in the NBA. But part of that has to go with defense as well, and the way the game is being played and the shots that are being taken. Real quick, before we let you go and hit the DraftKings thing as well, I know you mentioned Carmelo. We talked off the air. Carmelo, word got out yesterday, going to the Hall of Fame, and we are both here in the Carmelo Anthony Admiration Society.
Yeah, absolutely. They said to me, oh, you just missed playing with him in New York. And I said, yeah, instead I had to play against him for 10 years or 12 years, whatever it was. I mean, an absolute nightmare to guard. I remember him most since Denver days, and used to go out there and play them in Denver. And you know, you're already tired from the altitude. And then he just, when he was shooting the ball well from the mid range, which was 95% of the time, there was just no way to stop him defensively because he was so physical, because he could get to the basket, he could handle it well, he could post up, and that mid-range game was unstoppable. So absolutely well-deserved. I think also what's so impressive, you know, what he's done with his son becoming such a great player and being such a good dad and mentoring him as well. And And I've gotten to know him even better since we've been done. And we've both been working some with the Knicks, and I've sat next to him at a couple of games. And what a good guy, and well-deserved, and just very, very happy for him.
His son, Kyan, who's actually going to Syracuse next year, following in dad's footsteps. David Lee is a DraftKings talent ambassador. DraftKings Sportsbook offering all customers a no-sweat parlay every day of the NCAA tournament. Simply opt in, apply the token before placing the qualifying bet, and receive your stake in a bonus bet if you lose. Did I get that right? Anything to add on that?
This is a fun time of year to be a sports bettor. Well, especially the first couple rounds of the tournament. Everyone that picked the upsets, though, they're not having the best couple of weeks.
Not a week for upsets. It is a week for a one shining moment, however, and that will happen Monday in San Antonio with the Riverwalk. Always a fantastic, and I believe Florida has been there for a Final Four before in the past, if memory serves, fantastic Final Four venue. David Lee, great to talk to you, man. Good luck to your Gators this weekend.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. David Lee, everybody. Good stuff there. San Antonio, a really good, really good Final Four town. You ever been there for one?
Not for Final Four. I've been in San Antonio before. Had a lot of fun.
Fans at the Riverwalk. It's cool. Riverwalk is kind of touristy.
Yep.
And the locals know it, but it is a cool venue. Well, venue, the stadium, the arena. Well, not an arena. Yeah. Stadium. Because they do it at the Alamo Dome, not where the Spurs play. But yeah, the Riverwalk is fun and all the fans. Some of them are going to fall in the water inevitably. Get ready for those social media videos. I don't recommend jumping in that water. But good restaurants, beers will be had.
Mm-hmm.
Great place. Coming up. Wait until you see what A.J. Brown got in the mail. It made him happy.
Let's talk about pesty people. It's a do-it-yourself pest control. You can protect your home easily and at a quarter of the cost. Nobody likes being bugged, especially by, well, bugs. Nobody wants bugs in their home. My daughter sees a bug anytime. She doesn't sleep at night. We don't want that. When they show up at your home, you want them gone fast. Other pest control companies charge over $800 a year, but with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. Everything you need is provided in one simple kit. Protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/Eisen for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/EISEN for an extra 10% off. Again, for 10% off your order, go to pesty.com/Eisen. Let's talk Game Time tickets, people, because it's a perfect time of year to do so. So many great things happening in the world of sports. The college basketball tournament, playoffs are starting soon in basketball and hockey. Baseball's kicking off right now. And if you want to see some of this action live, and why don't you? The best place to start is Game Time, because Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. And the curation that makes it easier to find better value for tickets, it's not just for sports. There's concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with Game Time, you get the lowest price guaranteed, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
We'd like to play a game with Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo over there.
Okay.
Where I will read out the facts. They will guess whether it's true meta or false meta, and then you will confirm.
Okay, let's do it.
First fact, true. During my rookie season with the Chicago Bulls, I applied for a job at Circuit City. True meta or fake meta?
I've heard this story. I believe that's true.
Mike?
I'm going with him. True.
A true story?
That's a true story.
Woo!
That's a true story.
Did you get the job at Circuit City?
I did get the job. I got the job. I got my discount. I was trying to stay out of trouble.
Okay.
And I needed a job.
Next fact. I wore number 37 for the Lakers because Michael Jackson's album Thriller was number one on the Billboard charts for 37 consecutive weeks. True meta
no
or fake?
No way.
No way. Is it fake meta?
That is 100% true.
That's true. That's true.
I knew it was 37 weeks, but I wouldn't guess.
All right, next one. Right before his comeback with the Wizards, I broke two of Michael Jordan's ribs in a pickup game and delayed his comeback by 3 months. I was so upset about it, I didn't leave my house for days. True meta or fake meta?
I think that's true.
I'm saying true.
It's true. It's true. I love Michael Jordan. Probably my favorite player.
You broke his ribs?
It was on accident. It was a summertime pickup game, and it was an intense game.
In 2010, an art show honoring me was held in Toronto, Canada, entitled Lovable Badass.
False.
True.
That's true.
Damn, we have a tie! Oh,
yeah. I was surprised, man. I couldn't believe it. It was a really good show.
Lovable Badass.
He just said, hey, we want to honor you. I'm like, for what? You know? And they just had all this art of me.
All right, last one. In 2010, I was cited for driving a race car with an expired registration down a city street. True meta or fake meta?
Based on his reaction, I'm going to say true.
I got to go true, too.
That's true.
That's true. It was an Indy 500 car. It was fun.
What city?
You know, Westwood.
Westwood. In UCLA?
Yeah, they pulled me over and
I mean,
but it was street legal.
That is fantastic.
So it was street legal. It was just that you had an expired registration was the issue.
What happened was the officer was like, what is this? That's why they pulled me over. Like, you know,
yeah,
they couldn't say I had my license.
It was an Indy car?
It was an Indy car, yeah. But it, you know, you're young and dumb.
How did you fit in that thing?
I didn't really fit. I was real like this and hitting the gas with my one little pinky toes. It was tough.
That guy's one of my favorite people. I was in Chicago when he got drafted, met a world peace. He was then, obviously, St. John's Ron Artest at the time. And I always thought that was a Best Buy story. It's a Circuit City story. That story is real.
His rookie year, yeah.
Yeah, and then
all the discount.
All the other stories are real. I mean, think about that. He didn't just take the free merchandise. He didn't say, don't you know who I am, and like, now you just get stuff sent to your house because you could post about it on Instagram. Sure. Then Ron Artest was like, I want a deal on that TV.
Yeah, I want speakers for my car.
I'm going to go apply for a job. Yeah. Right? And he didn't go to Apt, which is like the big one in suburban Chicago. He went to Circuit City.
Circuit City was amazing.
I mean, back in the day, I used to go take my Walkman back to Circuit City. So I had this thing going. We're back on radio. Back in the day, I would always listen to baseball games on my Walkman, you know, with a cassette player.
And the tuner radio.
Right. And I would always, when they went digital, that's when you really busted out. But I would go to Circuit City and then I would get the plan, the insurance, and I would just get a new one every year. I had it down as a kid. Anyway.
You know how to game the system.
Know how to play the game. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting toward your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS top safety awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS top safety awards from 2006 to 2024. You ever get that gift where you feel like a little kid again and you're jumping up and down because you're so happy that you got that cool gift?
Takes you back.
A.J. Brown of the Eagles just got one of those cool gifts. This will play better on TV than on radio, but this is A.J. Brown. All right, he's shaking up that box. He got that delivery, and it says, I hope you all love this video as much as I enjoyed opening it. Appreciate you for everything, big bro. So he's shaking up this box. He's so excited to open up what's in this box. What is in this box? Is it a new Walkman?
What's in the box?
It's a Tom Brady jersey.
Signed.
That Brady autographed. Okay. A.J. Brown looks like a 10-year-old kid. Looks so like my nephew right when he got a Ja'Marr Chase jersey. Yes, my 10-year-old nephew is a Bengals fan, not a Browns fan. Don't ask. It's a long story. We don't have enough time. Friday.
AJ's throwing up the Wakanda Forever X. I mean, he's kissing the sky. He's, you know, slapping himself in the chest.
My man wants to be on the Patriots so bad. Literally, Mike Vrabel, make the call and he will come.
Chris had QB12 still played for the Patriots, then yeah, I'm sure that would be the case. But
that's how you, the New Englander, looks at it. Everybody wants to be us, right? The average fan would look at it like, wow, what a heartening moment that this professional athlete who makes $30 million a year still deep down inside is a little kid.
Right.
Right. And still has the admiration and he still lives in the moment and realizes how cool it is to play this game. But you look at it as no, everybody wants to come play for the Patriots.
No, I look at it as one of the things I will never forgive Bill for, you know, taking Nikhil Harry over him in the draft.
So Bill, that was really dumb. Bill didn't draft wide receivers well.
He did not.
And he took Nikhil Harry at the bottom of the 32nd pick in the first round, and the big ASU guy simply couldn't separate at the next level. Shocker.
Was always injured
as well. Have you ever had that reaction as an adult for a gift?
Ooh, as an adult.
Or as a kid?
Yeah, getting the first Nintendo, that was probably pretty amazing. And like, what, 1987, 88, something like that?
Okay.
Yeah, that was one of those first kind of
Tecmo
moments.
Tecmo, Zelda, Contra.
Yeah,
all the big RBI games. Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, was always great with those. Jay?
I had Luke Robitaille give me some gloves once.
Oh, nice.
We played, his publicist had like a skate. We were all there. But he gave them to me because he didn't like them. He's like, yeah, these aren't for me. But I was like, yes.
That's pretty amazing.
I thought they were amazing, but not up to his par.
Do you use them forever?
Robitaille, yeah.
You used them?
Yeah, still got them.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
TJ.
Oh, man, I've had just sports-wise, just especially around the studio, bro. There's just so many different items that we've had been fortunate enough to get signed in here. I mean, I have an old seat from Texas Stadium signed by Aikman, Smith, and Irvin. You know, I have WWE belt signed by Ric Flair and CM Punk.
But that wasn't a gift that somebody offered.
Yeah, we're talking like
a gift that, no, I mean, I can't think. I can remember the one time I got super happy to get something, and Brockman can attest to this. It wasn't a gift, but Jodie Foster being on this show, who I love, and Silence of the Lambs I love, so I got her to autograph a Silence of the Lambs movie poster, and I truly geeked out to the point where she wrote, "Don't bug out," because I told her, "I'm bugging out right now meeting you."
So she, and we're not talking Tribe Called Quest bugging out, we're talking the bug. Yeah, okay.
So she literally just wrote in there, "Don't bug out," because I was tripping, bro.
That's pretty cool.
So it wasn't a gift that someone gave me, but a gift I received from someone who I truly like. So
I'll be honest with you, when I threw out the first pitch a couple of years ago at a Guardians game and they gave me the jersey with my name on the back,
I didn't have that
AJ Brown reaction.
It's pretty neat.
But that had to be sick.
That was kind of cool.
To see Siciliano on the back of a, like, dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, years ago, like 2016, the Browns sent a jersey with my name on it. They sent it to a bunch, like Chris Rose got on a bunch, all the national media that were Browns fans, right? And it was the year 16 was the number, and I had your name, and I was going to frame it. My brother goes, dude, 0-16, like, why would you ever want to remember that season? Well, my name's always like, I don't care. Put it away.
Your brother, Debbie Downer. Come on.
Put it away.
Where's that now?
Why can't we have nice things, everybody?
Peace.
NBA veteran Jim Jackson takes you on the court.
You get a chance to dig into my 14-year career in the NBA, but also get the input from the people that will be joining, Charles Barkley.
I'm excited to be on your podcast, man. It's an honor.
Spike Lee, entrepreneur, filmmaker, Academy Award winner.
Knicks fan.
So, now you see, I got you. But also how sports brings life, passion, music, all of this together.
The Jim Jackson Show, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.